Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Bills sideline reporter and Buffalo radio host Sal Capaccio back to the show. Sal, I've been so excited to ask you this question because I know as someone who's watching from afar, I have such excitement about the Buffalo Bills and their return to prominence in the AFC. So in the middle of Bills Mafia, you are, what are all of their emotions at this point as we approach the AFC Championship?
Well, I would say the last couple of weeks have been obviously really great because this is a fan base that hasn't seen their team play all season and hasn't seen their team win a playoff game in a quarter century, which is pretty crazy, right? I mean, you know, going into this year, Amy, the goal, the stated goal for the organization was to win a playoff game, basically. It was get a home game, win the division, win a playoff game. They'd gone 2 and 3 years to the playoffs, hadn't won. And that was the stated goal. So I think that people expected it, but so it was a lot of a nervous anticipation. And now that they're here, you know, I'm not going to say it's like house money because I think people will be obviously disappointed if the Bills lost. But I think it really, last week's game changed it from, hey, if they lose in that game, it's kind of a disappointing season. But if they get to this spot and lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, I think people are still going to feel really good about what happened this year. But certainly, you know, there are a lot of people who would be, everybody would be still disappointed.
I got to imagine going back to the fourth quarter when it's Chad Henne for the Chiefs against the Cleveland Browns, and Cleveland had been in a really good spot. They were surging. They pulled within five. I can only imagine what Bills fans were thinking, even entertaining the thought that the AFC Championship might actually be back in Orchard Park.
Yeah, I will tell you, right around then, I tweeted out, how are we feeling right now, Bills Mafia? And the mentions were just crazy. They were all over the board. There were so many people who were like, oh my God, I can't believe, can this happen? How are we getting tickets? And then there were other people saying, I don't want to play Cleveland. They look good. Oh my God, they're running the ball. You know, I don't want to do that. It's crazy. So, you know, I think it was cool just knowing that you're through. It's kind of like watching your team win on the first day of the NCAA tournament, and then you're watching everybody else play, and you know you're through, and you're like, oh yeah, who do we really want to play here? Who's hot and who's not? So that was a cool part of last weekend.
So last weekend was a slugfest for a good portion of the game between Buffalo and Baltimore, and that third quarter really turned things around. So not just their opening drive where they get the Stephon Diggs touchdown as the capper, but then, of course, the pick six by Taron Johnson, and that moment as he's weaving his way through all that traffic, it goes 101 yards. You were in the stadium. What did that sound like with the fans?
That entire game, especially the goal line situation and stand that you saw on TV, and then that particular play, it's as loud as you could imagine, 6,700 people. And, you know, I don't mean to be like sound weird or cliche or something like that, but I got to tell you, when they say something like it happens in slow motion, it was kind of like that. Like when he's running, Taron Johnson's running, I'm in the moat down there as a sideline reporter, and I can see Taron Johnson running. I can see the sidelines going crazy, and I can just see these people, a sea of people. It was incredible. The emotion just started flowing. Kind of like at that moment, I think it was, Amy, that you kind of knew they were going to win just because the Ravens had so much trouble in that game, you know, moving the ball. The Bills are about to go up two scores. That was really cool about it. And I'll tell you, you know, I've been here a long time covering this team. I haven't lived here the whole time. I left, I came back, but I've been – part of following this team since I was a little kid. And that is one of the not only greatest plays in Buffalo Bills history, I would say one of the greatest plays in Buffalo sports history. That's how big it was.
Sal Capaccio is part of the Bills radio network on the sidelines and there for the last two playoff games. And now they're into their first AFC championship since 1993 when it was Jim Kelly and Joe Montana who was with the Chiefs at the time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So it's kind of funny that it's Bills and Chiefs again. And we'll talk about that. But in terms of the offense for Buffalo against Baltimore, it certainly seemed like there was a decision made to stay away from the run game. And I know what Baltimore did the week before against Derrick Henry and the Titans, but did you expect it to be that lopsided?
No, you know, I thought the Bills would play the run pretty well because I just know this coaching staff, when they set their mind to wanting to stop something, they can do it. And, you know, when they say, hey, we're going to make sure that the Baltimore Ravens can't run, look, they might be able to run a little bit, and they were, but they're good enough where they're going to devise a game plan to do that. And then really the telltale was the first play of the game, I see the Bills come out in a base 4-3 personnel. They never do that. The Bills don't play 4-3. They play nickel. And Taron Johnson, who had that pick six, he wasn't on the field to start the game. It was A.J. Klein, this third linebacker, and they ran most of that. So I wasn't surprised at that. But Baltimore, you know, what really happened, though, was when they wanted to throw, the Bills just made Lamar look super uncomfortable. And that's when you started to get the feeling of, okay, like they've got something going here where they've figured out like how to combat this offense. And I think no one expected the Baltimore Ravens to only have 3 points in that game.
Well, what about flip side for the Bills offense? Only 32 yards rushing. That to me was a surprise. What about you?
Yeah, there was a couple of games this year. There was one in particular where you go back. It was at the Jets, I believe, around midway through the season. The Bills only ran the ball like 3 times in the first half. And after the game, Brian Daboll admitted to us he didn't even want to run the ball once in the first half. He wanted to throw a pass on every single play. And we've seen that from him this year. This is who they are. This is where they live. They have this great quarterback, these great receivers. They don't have a great running game. They'd like to be able to do it when they can. But they just say, look, this is the way you play football in 2020. We're going to go out and you're going to have to outscore us. So that was the game plan going into the game. I was very surprised they didn't turn around and hand it off until it was 3 minutes left in the first half. That is for sure. But this is what we've seen from the Buffalo Bills this year. This is what we've seen from Brian Daboll. This is a pass first and pass happy offense.
Just out of curiosity, with Brian Daboll, the prospect of getting a job now, I mean, the numbers or the head coaching openings are kind of limited. How many interviews did he end up doing?
Well, he definitely interviewed for the Chargers, and one other job escapes me right now. But I will tell you, there were two for sure interviews. He was on the list for two or three more. I will tell you this, Amy. If the Buffalo Bills had lost to the Ravens last Saturday, I believe Brian Daboll is the head coach of the Chargers today. I think that because they did not want to wait for him to, whatever it was, another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Super Bowl, I think they interviewed somebody else and, you know, give Staley credit. He goes in there, he interviews. Nothing against him at all. But I think the owner says, hey, look, I'm not waiting. I like this guy. He looks good. Let's hire him. And, you know, Brian Daboll, I don't know how many of your listeners might not know this, but he went to high school here in Buffalo with the Chargers GM, Tom Telesco. Like, they're friends. And I think that he was going to get that job. And after that didn't happen, we could sense some disappointment, I think, in Brian on last Monday's Zoom call. And there's some reporting out saying that he's not interested this year and he'll be the hot candidate again next year. I feel bad for the guy. I think he deserves it. I think that if the only reason you're not hiring him is because it's bad timing, well, then you're losing out on a really good coach. And for a guy that's from here and we've seen his professional career develop, you know, he deserves his shot, and I feel bad that happened.
John Murphy is the play-by-play voice on the Bills radio network, and we're spending a few minutes with one of his colleagues on the sidelines for Bills game, Sal Capaccio from Orchard Park, New York. And Sal, thanks so much for hanging on. It was interesting to hear Kurt Warner recently talk about how much you don't usually see quarterbacks develop this much with their accuracy, but how have you seen that with Josh Allen?
Oh, a lot. Look, I never thought he could become the kind of accurate passer he is now. I thought, you know, he could probably improve a little bit, but my thought on Josh Allen always was, hey, they didn't draft him to be a Drew Brees accurate guy. They drafted him to be accurate enough, but then make the other wild plays that make up for some of the inaccuracy. Well, here he is now, and he's a 70% completion guy. You know, you give the Bills organization credit for that, really. They had a vision. They had a plan with Josh Allen when they drafted him. They stuck to it. They never wavered from that. He did not have the chaos and the dysfunction that even Baker had after his rookie year. He doesn't so much now, obviously. What Sam Darnold has had, obviously what Josh Rosen has had, and you've seen that. I think the one thing people got wrong with Josh, you know as well as I do, Josh was very polarizing when he came out, right? And so many people really were harsh critics of him. And I think the one thing that the analytics folks and all those didn't really take into account was the kid needed reps. He never had the reps at Wyoming. He went the JUCO route. He wasn't highly recruited. He didn't come from a huge quarterback factory. He didn't go to all the Elite 11 camps. And I think the Bills saw that and said, let's just give him the reps. Let's make sure we stick with it. And this is what's happening.
How is he handling all the extra spotlight, the talk about how he's catapulted into this spot as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL? And not just that, but, you know, the responsibility of driving this offense that's now in the AFC Championship.
If you could really put a poster child for how a quarterback should act at a young age and to have yourself, you know, feel confident in him that he's saying all the right things, it's Josh Allen. And I give him a lot of credit, but I also give this organization, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, he's definitely taken his cues from them. He's learned a lot about how to be in that. This whole team is like that. They really are a reflection of their head coach. But, you know, Josh, he grew up in a small – he's from California, but he's not from L.A. He's from, like, a farming town, you know, Fireball, California, right? I mean, who really heard of that? When he was drafted, he said he didn't really want to go to a big city. He doesn't like traffic. He wanted a smaller town. That's the kind of kid he is, really. I call him a kid, you know? I mean, he's humble. He's not a flashy kind of guy. And I think he's handled all of this really, really well from the start.
Sal Capaccio with us from Buffalo, where he's part of our affiliate WGR, as well as sideline reporter for the Bills Radio Network. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I love seeing the tweets from Jim Kelly. Of course, was their Hall of Fame QB in the 90s when they had their heyday in the four Super Bowl runs. And I remember being in Buffalo not that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I was doing an event with Thurman Thomas, and he was talking about how this group, this core group of the Bills, some of them in the Hall of Fame, they stay in contact, they get together every now and then. How much have you heard from that group in terms of supporting the current Bills?
Well, I will tell you that those are guys that I grew up watching. They were my heroes, if you will, and now you can pinch me because they're all people that I know and have a part of my life, right? I mean, you know, I'll be texting with Thurman during games sometimes. They'll say, why don't they run the ball more or something like that, which is great. And they are. They are a part of this family. They are a part of what we do here. They want to see this team succeed. And I'll go a step further. You know, we get a lot of stuff here in Buffalo for, you know, who would want to live there and the weather and that and, you know, all those kinds of things. But a lot of people do. This is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise your family, and you just said it. Jim Kelly still lives here. Thurman Thomas still lives here. Steve Tasker, my radio partner and colleague, still lives here. You know, this is a place that these guys, they settled into, and they have their families, and they raise their kids here, and it's really, really awesome. And, you know, I think the other part about that, though, is as great as it is, and they love being a part of it, I think that there was always this, you know, for 20 years, the team would trot them out there to show you how great the pass was, right? I mean, like, oh, look how great we were.
Yes.
to keep the team relevant. They don't have to do that anymore. Now they have Josh Allen, they have Stephon Diggs, and they have Tre'Davious White. And now these guys can enjoy it. They don't have to be the shining beacon light of what used to be for the Buffalo Bills to show people how great it once was.
On Saturday, Jim Kelly's tweet that just made me giggle, he doesn't say anything about his playing days or back to the 90s, just Bills Mafia. What a time to be a Buffalo Bills fan. This is Jim Kelly, and he's describing himself as a Buffalo Bills fan, which I just thought was so cute.
You know, there's a great shot, and people can maybe go back and watch this. It's years ago. It's about, I think, 19 years ago now. It's 2002, I believe. It's Peerless Price was a Bills wide receiver, Drew Bledsoe. They're playing a game in the snow against the Miami Dolphins, and Drew hits Peerless Price for a touchdown. Peerless runs. He runs into the end zone, and at the back of the end zone, Jim Kelly's in this big winter coat going crazy, and he gives Peerless Price this big bear hug in 2002, like on national TV, and everybody was like, oh my God, that's Jim Kelly, right? He's down there. These guys are. They're fans of the game, and they're fans of the team, and yeah, they are really enjoying this ride, and it's been fun, too. The under-the-radar guys, too, like Daryl Talley, like, you know,
yes,
didn't get as much publicity as he deserved. You know, Bruce Smith obviously did, but he's not a guy that's out there in the spotlight. You know, Andre waited to make the Hall of Fame, but these are all guys now that, you know, we've been in touch with, we've been talking with since this run started, and they're all enjoying it together.
That's really cool. I love that piece of it, that element of this Bills run. Okay, so this is a rematch of sorts between the Chiefs and the Bills going back to week number 6. Interestingly enough, the NFC Championship is also a rematch of a game in week number 6. What do you remember about Buffalo's game against Kansas City way back when?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I actually literally just rewatched it tonight. took some notes on some things for the radio broadcast and for my listeners here. I'll tell you, the Bills are a much different team than they are now, because, first of all, there were some injuries, there's no doubt. Let's start on defense. Matt Milano was not on the field. He is a huge part of what the Bills have done this year. The Bills are undefeated when Matt Milano starts this year. when he doesn't play, they've won a few games, but they have not lost in games he's been on. That's how great of a player he's been for them. Josh Allen just looked really uncomfortable in that game. Give the Chiefs credit. They did a lot of really nice things, but everything was just a little bit off. Timing was off. John Feliciano wasn't in there yet as far as an offensive lineman is concerned. John Brown, I remember this specifically at being at the game and being field level. John Brown was totally hobbled. He had just come back from an injury. I mean, he could not get any separation. Give the Chiefs credit. Like I said, they played the Bills well, but I think the Bills, they really struggled on offense for those reasons. And on defense, they had a great game plan because they wanted to stop the pass, and they did. Tyreek Hill had 20 yards. But, man, the Chiefs, they had a great run game, and they just kept pounding it at the Bills and pounding it. The Bills were very passive. I don't think the Bills are going to play that passive this time. I think especially if they're going to maybe test that toe to see if Patrick Mahomes can move on it, and they're going to come after him a little bit, because they did not in that game. They had zero blitzes, Amy. Zero blitzes the entire game in week six.
You know what else stands out about that game to me is that Josh Allen was their leading rusher.
Yes, that's right. And, he also, and going back and watching, a couple were designed runs. And I actually tweeted this out earlier. I said, that was there. Like, they can do that, and I wouldn't be surprised. But the other part was Josh just basically would keep the play alive and say, okay, well, I'm going to take off now. And that's where he can be his best, right, when he's out of structure. They scored a touchdown like that. He got out of structure. Stephon Diggs was at the inside the pylon. He throws the ball right there. But they're going to have to run the ball better than they did last week. They're going to have to run the ball, I think, a little bit more. It's to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, of course, but they don't want to be married to it. That's not who they are, but they're going to have to be more efficient. In that game, by the way, they were forced into a lot of third and longs, and that really gets you out of your game. I remember the first three third downs for the Bills were third and nine, third and six, and third and seven.
Wow, that is not a recipe for success. I remember Clyde Edwards-Helaire just went crazy. It had 150-plus yards or something along those lines. So, yeah, the two teams are completely different and should be really interesting. Obviously, the top two teams in the AFC. Sal, before I let you go, if you don't mind, the big news on Wednesday is that Philip Rivers has decided to call it a career, and you were there for his very last NFL game. What's your reaction to him retiring?
Yeah, I remember, let's go back 1993, the Bills, they played Joe Montana. It wasn't his last game, but it was, people thought, he probably would be done. It was in the AFC Championship that year, the last time. He played one more year, and this one here, people were wondering, and same thing, but this time Philip Rivers does step away. It's funny, Amy, people ask me all the time, like, is there a player you've ever, seen on the field? You're like, oh my God, that guy's so good. And I know it sounds weird, and I've said this, is on the record. You're asking me now, I'll tell you. The guy I always say is, Philip Rivers, my first year. Maybe it's because I had never been on the sidelines before as a professional broadcaster. But my first year, 2014, as a sideline guy, Bills are playing the Chargers, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's amazing! Like I just could not believe how good he was. He was way bigger than I thought, first of all. And even though he's not like this really good athlete, it's just everything he did was on point and excellent. And he just seemed in such control and command. He was really good, by the way, in that game against the Bills.
He was.
I mean, give him credit. I've always been a Philip Rivers fan, and Sean McDermott asked him about it when we found out about it, and he has always said he's a Hall of Famer. There's no question. There's question to some people. There's no question to me. I've seen the guy enough, and we can put stats against this guy or that guy, but to me, Philip Rivers is one of the best of my generation, and I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I agree with you, and sometimes people come back to the lack of blings or the lack of rings, but his numbers, his longevity, yeah, the way that he threw the ball, that's all undisputed, and I think you're right. May not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but should end up in Canton. All right, you can follow Sal on Twitter at Sal Sports, and Sal Capaccio with our Buffalo affiliate as a host and also Buffalo Bills sideline reporter, AFC Championship this weekend. It's good to catch up with you again. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes, and have fun this week.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun weekend here in Western New York, that's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.